1240 AM WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always is twin brother Billy.
Hi, Bill. Hello.
Clay is the greatest person in the world. He's absent today.
Yeah,
he's making a quick family emergency. We hope everything's okay in the O'Brien household.
Yeah.
We'll see him next week.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there. It is 2019.
Yeah.
And Bill, have you made any new sort of New Year's resolutions moving forward this year?
I'm trying to.
That's what everybody says.
No, I've never been the person that's actually like made the, you know, I think we talked about this maybe last week. I don't make that, you know, like I'm going to do this. I haven't done that. I got close 2 years ago when
Those are called goals. You don't set goals.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, I do set goals. I'll get there. It was a couple years ago I got really good where I was like, all right, I'm going to make working out
I remember this.
A thing for me. And I did really well with it. And now I'm back to just a big tub of lard.
Sure.
I can get back
You're
to it.
You're not a
though.
Tub of lard. You look
no,
pretty fit
no,
and fiddle
no,
to
no.
me.
No, but that was probably the best shape I had been in years. And I can get back there. It's not too far
what
off.
What was the regime? How did you just start tackling it? You know, did you go to the gym in the mornings or did you go at night? Everybody... that's a fairly common New Year's resolution. I'm going to start going to the gym, you know? I think a lot of people say that to themselves, and then they go to the gym, but they don't work out. They find other things to do at the gym.
I don't know. I think I just got to a point in my life where I was looking for a change in something.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember you were very tan during this period. They had... rather than working, not only were you fit and fiddle, but you started to look like you had spent a serious amount of time in Cancun that winter. They had a free tanning bed at the gym.
I didn't abuse it that much, okay? Relax. You're acting like I looked like George Hamilton or something. And that
I'm not saying
case,
that would be a bad thing. This year, I vow to become more tan.
No. Yeah, I took advantage of it every now and then. Not going to lie. Most people do.
Did you ever just go to the gym and just say, you know what, I'm not going to work out today, but I think I'm going to work on the tan?
If I did, I don't know if I'd want to share that with the radio listening
Why
audience.
Not?
Most people do. I've seen the people go in there and just go, I'm not working out, I'm going into tan. That's why
you
pay
the 30
bucks. A
certain
membership place that, you know, I won't give them the plug because they're still charging me and I haven't been there in a while.
We should go find them and get them to sponsor the show and then we can all be, you know, the tannest Irishman
I'll put
in
it
town.
This way. They had a big ad push on, oh gosh, the... I want to say it was NBC or ABC's Rockin' New Year's Eve, but all these people wearing these crazy hats that had their logo on it. Pretty good
advertising. That had whose logo? What do you mean?
It was Planet Fitness. Okay,
oh, that's there we go. Okay, you know, free
you owe
plug
us $15.
For
actually, you owe us a free month's worth of
advertising on this program.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, but they did a really nice job with that. Planet Fitness is cool. I don't know. I mean,
you're
here's
shying
the thing.
Away.
There's no lake. You're going to go swimming or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't
like
have swimming
sauna
pool.
Or anything like that. There's nothing like that. It's like, get in there, sweat, get out.
So what was your regime? You would go on the treadmill and just start pounding the treadmill real hard? Were there free weights and stuff like that? Or what was your regime?
I put myself on a high-protein diet.
Okay.
I started taking, and I know you laugh at this, but I did some creatine. A little bit of creatine.
Okay, sure.
And then I was doing, obviously, protein shakes.
Okay.
Which curbed a lot of my appetites during the day. So I really wouldn't eat a ton. I would drink a lot of fluids and then do those shakes, and then I would go work out.
Right.
And my workout regime was pretty good. I would do about a mile and a half, somewhere of like 10 minutes on the elliptical.
Yeah.
And then I would go on to the treadmill for another 3 miles. But before I would do that, so like I would space it out. I don't know why I'm explaining my whole workout routine to everyone.
I'm
like
curious to know. I just wanted to know how you were.
There's lots of push-ups, lots of sit-ups, lots of long stretching. You have to do that at our age, otherwise you're done if you don't stretch.
Yeah.
Did a lot of that. Then I would do mass reps of light weight on stuff.
Cool.
So there was like a weight. There's, I don't know if you go in, people know this, when you go into those places like Planet Fitness or any of those other places, that there's like an area designated where there's like 10 different machines.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to jump on them like in a period of like, you know, 10 minutes per machine.
Yeah, like a station.
Yeah. That's literally what I would do. I would do the elliptical. I would stretch, do the elliptical, do the machines, and then finish with the run. And then sometimes I'd finish with some push-ups or some curls. But
and a tan.
Possibly. And I don't know. Would you, okay with you? You're liking to poke fun at me, but
you're
mad.
Like I'm attacking you for
I will make
for being
a
tan.
Good
I'm
joke not. About when you once tried to you were going to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to?
Oh yeah, man, I forgot about this.
White
this
as
is,
hell.
This is pretty good.
I don't want to look like the whitest guy there. And you went for
how old was I when
oh,
I did
God,
this?
God, I don't know. But you for some reason you thought that you would do a spray tan. And I'm like, why?
I remember
you're a
this.
Guy. Don't do that.
Yes.
And rather than you didn't like follow the directions.
Yeah.
And then after you went on a spray tan, you put on a pair of baby blue, you know, chinos.
Yes.
And it looked like somebody had rubbed makeup all over them.
Or pooed on them.
Yeah. It was like, what did you do?
Yeah.
And then you couldn't get it off for like, you were just like spotty orange.
Maybe that's a good business idea for the new year. Male spray tans.
Man, I guess.
For the Irish American community.
Male spray tan for the Irish American community?
What do you call that?
That would be hard. There'd be a lot of people that probably wouldn't want to take part in that.
Shamrock spray?
Shamrock spray, yeah.
Sure, why not? Paddy Houlihan, proprietor of Shamrock Spray, is here today. He's here to help all Irishmen feel more beige.
Yeah.
I do remember that. That was pretty embarrassing. God, how vain of me.
The cool thing, though, about when you're going to work out and you're kind of trying to make that turn in your life is to have somebody there, whether it be a best friend, a brother, a sister, a spouse, or anything like that, to push you, someone who's going, like, you know, on those days where you get home from work and you're like, ah, I'll skip it today. If there's normally someone that you always go to the gym with, like a partner, and then they call you and they're like, come on, you know, like you push the other person to do it.
Yeah.
That psychologically and mentally absolutely does help a lot.
Oh, I bet.
You feel like you don't want to let the other person down by missing that day.
Yep.
So you push yourself to do it. I unfortunately, you know,
you got comfortable
again.
Yeah,
I got comfortable. Started dating my girlfriend. Was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't need to work out anymore.
And here I am.
I found somebody.
Yeah, you know, I found that one. And then here I am, 30 pounds heavier, thinking to myself, I got to get back on that treadmill.
You're right. I think a lot of people are, many single people are right. motivated to hit the gym for that very reason, that they're looking for a new significant other, and they're trying to look fit and fiddle and impress somebody.
Of course.
And maybe not always doing it for health reasons to try to feel better. They're doing it to obtain something else, right? Another void in their life.
Right. Yeah.
The flux of the New Year's resolutions has pounded my Facebook wall.
Really?
Seeing lots of it. I'm also seeing lots of people that are saying, hey, I had a great year. 2018 was a great year, onward and upward. And then lots of people who are saying 2018 was terrible, you know.
And I wasn't a big fan of 2018, personally.
I've had better years than 2018, yeah. But I don't... I sometimes feel like, do you want to air your dirty laundry on Facebook and complain about things? Or you see people...
No.
And then I see a lot of cynicism of people putting other people's sort of aspirations down, you know?
Oh, really? People that, like, want to change and the other person, like, beating them up on their wall about it?
Yeah, for, like, people who are saying, hey, for everybody who's, you know, making a New Year's resolution, another fake resolution, why don't you, you know, cram it or something like that? It's like,
wow.
What a positive guy, you know? So I think my New Year's resolution is, I think, you know, and... from a personal standpoint, I'm not huge on the social media networks, right? I'm not huge.
Oh,
I'm
not
huge.
No,
I'm okay.
I didn't think so.
I think I'm going to step back and not post any personal things. And I don't really do that now, but
yeah.
I'm going to try to bite my lip even more. And I think I would like to get in shape, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, when you really, really, really want to get buff and ripped,
yeah,
and start the new year out right.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a protein shake when you wake up in the morning.
Yep, that's allowed.
But the best thing to do is to have a hearty bowl of McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yeah, sure.
Because that will get you looking fit and fiddle. In fact, there's a little bit of a component in McCann's Irish Oatmeal that
really?
Makes most Irish people not appear to be so white either.
Oh.
It gives you a certain glow. Which is amazing. So
natural glow.
A natural glow. I implore all of our listeners to give that a shot and try it out. Show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. More Hooli's Hooli Radio after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table. Enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Welcome back, Hooley's Hooley Radio Hour. We're back. Clay is absent this week.
Yes, he is.
We're missing him. We hope everything works out well for him. Keep him in your prayers. I want to give a shout-out, a couple of new sponsors. Drop in and see our friends Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub. That's at 6462 South Central Avenue in Chicago. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area, Bill. Nice. And Mike and Dawn will take good care of you.
All right.
Also,
yeah,
we were speaking about New Year's resolutions. You want to get in shape this year. Yeah. Go see our friend Mike Joyce at the Celtic Boxing Club out in Beverly. That's located in the Beverly neighborhood in Chicago's South Side. And, you know, it's at 111th Street, 3012 West 111th Street. Place is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've
driven by it numerous times. It's very cool.
Yeah, the club was actually started to give neighborhood kids a place to learn about the art of boxing and offer a positive outlet. Mike Joyce was also the head boxing coach at Leo High School for a number of years as well. He's an attorney in the Beverly neighborhood, very well-known guy.
Yeah.
He also is married to Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Yeah.
Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah.
He has a very high boxing pedigree, so if you want to go and meet his team and get in shape this year and learn how to kick some butt,
yeah,
go see him. Absolutely. The Celtic Boxing Club, that's again at 3012 West 111th Street. Bill, you said before the break you were giving me some beef about I'm having a cup of coffee.
Well, it's like I just cannot understand the coffee thing with people.
It's irritating to you.
It really is.
You were angry to watch me have a sip of coffee.
I'm like, what? Coffee? I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's like, what is the big deal?
You think coffee is for wimps, don't you?
So I kind of do. I'm kind of like, just if you're tired, go to bed.
I'm not tired, though. And we've been on this rant before. I enjoy it. I like a little, I like the the beautiful cocoa bean or whatever.
You never, in all the years I grew up with you, I never, ever saw you put a pot of coffee on.
No, I don't. Not as a young child. I wasn't making coffee for myself.
Even in college, I never saw you drink it.
You know what it was? You get a desk job and you start drinking coffee. That's what happens. That's what happened to me at a certain point. And you're right. I probably was rather tired when I first ingratiated myself into the coffee world.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get into coffee world.
And some people are just like, I need my coffee. And it's like, what do you just get over it?
So maybe in the New Year's, I should quit drinking coffee?
I don't know. The funny thing is, as someone who's been a smoker for as long as I have been.
Ah.
I don't get, people are like, oh, coffee and cigarettes, was it Jim Jarmusch who made coffee and cigarettes the movie?
Exactly, the whole
thing that they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm, they do.
I don't know. I'm not.
Coffee and heaters.
No, I mean, like I said to you at the break, I was like, just have a Coca-Cola Classic and call it a day.
Well, there's a pitch for Coca-Cola Classic. We'll send them an invoice for the program.
Sorry.
I don't see the difference. What's the difference? They're probably both just as bad for you.
Maybe, you know what, maybe it is, as when I was a server, working at restaurants.
Yeah.
I hated getting coffee for people.
Yeah, because you were like, oh, the meal's wrapped up, let me get them their check. And the guy went, what?
We're going to sit here for about 45 minutes.
We're going to have some coffee now.
Yeah, well, I was trying to wait on everybody else so this guy could get a little cup of a Joe.
Can I get a little more coffee here, please? Yeah. A little more coffee?
for all you coffee lovers out there, that I think that line that you just referred to is from the movie "I'm Going to Get It, Get You, Sucker."
It is. It's from the famous film made by the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, yeah. And a little coffee here, please.
It's with Kim Wayans. Yeah.
Yeah, and she loses her stuff in the diner.
That's correct.
It's a great scene.
Maybe I'll have to pull that up later.
That's kind of how I felt. Yeah. Can I get a little more coffee here, please? I don't know. I see people, like, you know, surprisingly, like, there are guys that I work with where I don't see a lot of people drinking a ton of coffee. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's people that, you're right, maybe it is people that are, like, at desk jobs all day. But you know what, though? I shouldn't say that. There's plenty of blue-collar guys out there every morning that they need their cup of coffee, too.
Oh, yeah.
I just have never understood it. And I don't think I ever will.
Good. So have you made a New Year's resolution? My New Year's resolution is try to become 10% better every day, right?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like, and you just start in very small steps, right?
Of course.
Like, if I did one load of laundry today, tomorrow I'd do two. Then sure. The next day I do three. Then there's right. No more laundry, right?
Exactly.
Then I'm on to something else in the house. Maybe right. I'm washing the walls or I'm working on show topics for this, you know?
Exactly.
Maybe next week we're going to talk about coffee, and then the week after that we're going to talk about Coca-Cola, you know? And I got to get 10% better.
Yeah.
Get 10% better.
Get 10% better. If you get 10% better, you're kicking butt.
And it compounds, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did you have any drinks on New Year's Eve?
I did, but I was in the wrapper earlier. I didn't. It was a very responsible New Year's Eve. I was at dinner by 5:30 with my lovely girlfriend Mary.
Yeah.
We went and had dinner, and then when dinner was finished, we had a few drinks at dinner, obviously.
Sure.
And then, you know, we went home and relaxed. I mean, we had some champagne at home. I had a bottle to open and. We cracked that at midnight, and we didn't even finish the bottle of champagne. We just were like, eh, okay.
So you did stay up till midnight. You said I was in the wrapper early.
We got home, and we were like, we both ate big steaks, so we were a bit of a food coma. So after we both kind of laid around on the couch for about 2 hours,
That's pretty nice. Steaks for New Year's Eve?
Yeah, we treated ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time.
And then that, you know, yeah, Maddox is with his grandparents for the weekend, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you just had the house to yourself.
Yeah, it was just the two of us. It was very nice and relaxing.
Did you watch any New Year's Eve rockin' TV shows?
We did. Well, we put on, I always find that watching the local ones,
yeah,
like, are the funniest.
Yeah, oh, they're awful, though. That Janet Davies and Mark Giangreco thing. People were all over Facebook talking about that. You know, now the real party begins because these two are on. I don't think Giangreco, I don't mind, right? I've always been a fan of Giangreco.
Love Mark Giangreco, yeah.
I don't. He probably cringes every year that he has to do that. It's like part of his contract.
I would imagine.
He's like, ah, Janet Davies. That's like the only thing she does all year. I feel like, right? It's probably like the highlight of her year.
She does celebrity stuff, I think.
Right? She?
That's like her thing, right?
Oh, Janet Davies, what do you do all year?
Look her up.
190 North, wasn't that her
show?
Yeah,
that was it, right? I think, I don't know. We watched the local stuff. And the local stuff is just fun to watch because you can
see. It is so cheesola.
It's so, I don't know, like, I could never imagine.
When was the last time you went, oh, it's New Year's, I better get my tux out. And run over to Excalibur or somewhere like that.
Never,
you know,
have I ever done that.
And
in my
spend
life.
$400 and be just, one of those guys in the background waving.
That's
insanity. That's insanity, I think.
Like, we saw something, I don't know if it was NBC or ABC, where they had that guy, Ken Jeong,
the actor.
Yeah, and then there was the girl from Pussycat Dolls. I can't remember the
Nicole Schlesinger?
That's her.
Okay.
There was this young, like, towards the end of the show, I don't know, they were singing a song, a cover song of something, and it was like supposed to be a joke. But Nicole took over the reins from Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong?
Yeah, well, okay. Took over the reins from him, and there was this skinny little guy,
photobombing in the background.
You know, he had been obviously like just told there to stand there and hold the umbrella over her head.
Yeah,
you
know? it's called the production assistant.
And I just felt so bad for him because he looked like such a little dork.
Can we get Nicole's umbrella boy over here, please? She's about to do the song with Jeong.
Yeah, but like then he would like, you know, like. When they were like, everybody sing along, and then he would like sing along with them, like, or like mouth the words and just kind of like fake smile and look lost. And I just sat there on the couch and pointed at him and laughed my butt off. Yeah, I did a lot of that. Like, we did a lot of that watching, like, look at the chick in the background over there. Like, look at that. We got quite a few laughs out of it.
I think that's what most people are doing rather than they're not. It's like people watching on TV, right? You're not really paying attention.
It's people watching, right? Yeah.
I believe Jenny McCarthy was hosting with Ryan Seacrest this year.
She
does she
was,
do that every
I
year?
I think that she is. That is like one. No, I think it's because she's got this new show.
Okay. And Donnie Wahlberg was there. And then Joey McIntyre, I saw him.
Was he? I don't know.
They were all there.
I didn't watch all of it. We were kind of just flipping around.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Naked Singer. Or what is it? The Masked Singer. That's it. The new show, The Masked Singer, where someone comes out and you don't know if it's the person who actually sings the song. You don't know if it's a celebrity. You don't know who it is. But
okay,
yeah, she's like on that show. So
she's the host.
Ken Jeong also. Oh, so it was all that. And then that Sharon Nicole, whatever, the girl from Pooch, she's also a host.
Oh, they're panelists, like The View. Or not The View. Oh, The Voice.
Yes. So it was like that.
More
Thank you,
contest
Mike.
Shows. How boring.
Well, that's what they were promoting this year. You know, that's why they were hosting the New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So,
with Seacrest. Seacrest is probably the producer of that show. That's my biggest presumption.
Absolutely.
You know?
Of course he is.
Dick Clark Productions is behind that, I think. Or maybe not. I don't know. He's the new Dick Clark, Ryan Seacrest, isn't he?
I guess so, yeah. He would probably be the new Dick Clark. Yeah, he would fall into that category.
I guess so, yeah. Very good.
Is Seacrest the new Dick Clark? I think so. Yeah, I think he is.
Who's that? That sounds.
I don't know.
That was very good. I like that. That sounds like one of the guys you might be selling booze to all week.
Is he dressed in Dick Clark? How much is Jack Daniels?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Happy New Year.
I don't think any of my buyers know who Ryan Seacrest is. Maybe they do. Maybe I'll ask them this week.
That's your New Year's resolution.
Can you guys tell me who Ryan Seacrest is? Anybody know?
Free bottle of Jack Daniels for all of you guys who know who Ryan Seacrest is.
One of the things I always kept thinking about when we were, you know, obviously New Year's is I think about, like, what was your worst New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
And I'd have to say mine was, I think it had to have been 06. Yeah, it was 06 because that's when the Bears were in the Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
There was a
Rex Grossman
freezing cold night on New Year's Eve, and I was working down in the city in Lincoln Park.
Right.
And it was also snowing pretty hard from what I remember. And getting a ride home, there was no Uber then, just cabs.
Yeah, right, pre-Uber.
So getting a ride home was like next to impossible. It was like I felt like I was stranded. And I was, I don't know, maybe a mile from my house. And it's just, I was like, I'm not walking. It's too much. I'm not walking. Walking.
Right.
And I eventually remember waiting outside in the cold for like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Yeah, and you
like,
could
have just walked. And then thinking to myself, I can't stand New Year's Eve.
So you're saying the worst New Year's Eve of your life was because you were cold after work one day.
New Year's Eve, I don't know.
Very interesting story.
No, what I'm saying is that I think people go out on New Year's Eve with predisposed thoughts and of, you know, illusions of grandeur and, you know, I'm going to meet the new person of my life on New Year's. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point now where after going through something like that where I'm like, forget it. I'd rather sit at home, the belly full of steak, relax, and watch a bad movie.
Right.
That's a good New Year's Eve for me.
Belly full of steak.
Belly full of steak.
I like that. And most people are not as lucky as you, Bill, to have a belly full of steak. Some people just have a belly full of sloppy joes like myself.
That's fine. Go and do that, too. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we didn't do anything. Nothing.
No. I worked the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that either. I don't like working New Year's Eve. I don't like going out. I'm just like, now I'm kind of like, yeah. And me and Mary were both like, we just don't want to deal with it.
But I feel like that it has died. Like the showcase factor of New Year's Eve has faded in the last 10 years. It used to be much more celebrated, I think, and people respected it more as a holiday. Also...
Yeah,
people used to get amped up because the football games the next day actually meant something. And now we have the college playoffs, right?
Right.
And most of the games that happen on New Year's Day are like consolation bowl games.
Right? I didn't watch one bowl game this year, I don't think.
Not one?
No.
Did you watch Notre Dame get walloped?
No.
Boy, was that embarrassing. Did you see it coming?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
I think that everybody in their heart of hearts kind of thought that that was a real possibility.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame's got a decent schedule. I think that, but here's the thing. Every team in the SEC is so dominant.
I know.
I mean, that was Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson. Those are all SEC teams.
Oklahoma's not in the SEC.
What are they in? The East? What's the Pac-12 then?
No.
No. What's Oklahoma? Oklahoma, I thought, was an SEC team. Southeastern Conference?
They're in like the Big 12 or something like that.
I don't even know. Does the Big 12 even exist anymore? See, this is me not following college football at all.
Yeah, and you're sports aficionado.
I just, that's one.
They're in the Big 12, Bill.
All right, the Big 12.
Patty, right. Coming up top with a sports.
Okay.
Actually, it knew something that Bill didn't in sports. That's a huge victory.
They're
going to
get smoked by, did they play Bama? Did Bama smoke them?
Who, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get smoked the way that Notre Dame got smoked.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be Bama, Clemson.
And those are both SEC schools, correct?
I believe Clemson is an ACC team.
Oh, Clemson is the ACC. All right, whatever. I'm wrong.
I go to Bill for a little sports, and he drops the ball.
I just don't care. Like, college football for me these days, it hasn't done it for me lately. I don't know what made, you know. I don't know. I should probably follow more college football and get more into it.
And do you think that they should expand the playoff to 8? That's what everybody says. I do.
Why?
Because Notre Dame had no business being in that game after they got walloped like that. And then you watch the other games. You know, Ohio State, although Washington put up a heck of a game against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, they came back in the second half and made it interesting. The game ended on an onside kick. But Ohio State should have definitely probably been there. That's who I would have put there. I would have put Ohio State probably ahead of Oklahoma in that game to play Bama. I think most people wanted to see it, right? People want to see Urban Meyer play Saban, right?
Right.
But, you know, schedule that one loss hurt him, or the loss of Purdue probably hurt him more than
I. You know what? Here's the thing. Maybe it's because the Bears have been good this year that my focus has not been on college football. I've just been like, the Bears.
Everybody's.
And I know that most people in the Midwest would be like, what are you talking about? Notre Dame almost made it to the national championship.
Mm-hmm. You didn't follow it.
Didn't follow it this year. I mean, Notre Dame lost, what was it, 3-4 years ago, also in the national championship? You know, I mean,
got smoked. That was when Manti Te'o was on the team. Remember him?
So
it's like nobody remembers how good Notre Dame was that year, other than the fact that that kid got catfished.
Right.
And it's like that. And I don't even know if he's in the NFL anymore. Manti Te'o.
I believe he's on San Francisco.
Where are you?
I think he's on the the Niners.
I don't know if Bears, the playoff season is starting in Chicago.
Yeah, for sure.
Big news, right? Everybody is. Bears fever is officially gone into overdrive. And what are your thoughts? We're going to play the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You think the Bears do it? I think so.
I hope so. Playing at home, Philadelphia's, you know, you got, I don't know what the story with Carson Wentz is, whether he's
not
back.
Playing.
I know he's not playing, but Nick Foles will probably start, right?
Who won a Super Bowl last year?
Who won a Super Bowl, but he's a little bit banged up. I don't know. It would be so Chicago for some reason, or just like the Bears for someone like a guy like Alshon Jeffrey, who we got rid of.
To come in and spoil it for us.
I'll never forget when the Bears played the Carolina Panthers in the playoffs, which was, well, I want to say it was in like 2004.
When Steve Smith came in and lit us up.
Yeah, when Steve Smith came in and just lit us up, and it was just so demoralizing.
And Mushin Muhammad was on that team as well, wasn't he?
Yeah,
and then he was on the Bears a year later.
2 years later.
Okay.
So yeah, I want to say that was like 2004 or something. I hope it's not anything like that. It would be a shame to see a 12-4 record just go out in the first round of the playoffs like that. But it happens to a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
I think that
we've been so spoiled with the Bears that all of a sudden, you know, we feel like it can't end now.
Here's the amazing thing about the Bears, and this is
nobody even expected us to be here.
If they can do this, what they've done all season, because their defense is so good,
right?
If they can control the ball in time of possession, they'll go all the way to the Super Bowl.
That's what everybody keeps saying. That's what that analyst on ESPN, I forget his name now, he made the big, bold prediction.
If Trubisky does not throw interceptions and holds on to the football, and the Bears can put some points on the board and not turn it over, the defense will take care of the rest. And this isn't to mock Mark Trubisky at all, because I think he's had Mitch Trubisky. Mark Trubisky.
That's his brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he's getting better every week. They're good. Who knows? I don't know what to expect of Philadelphia. Philadelphia is hot, and they're the former Super Bowl contender, you know, champion. So I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, the Bears are going to come in and crush them. I think that Bears would have had a better chance with against Minnesota, but then again, you could have said the same thing. Do you want to play a team three times in a row? No.
No.
In a row, but anybody knows in a sport like football, once you see a team three times, it's a totally different ballgame. You know what I mean?
They can make all the adjustments for you.
Right.
You're right. We got shellacked last year by the Eagles.
Smoked by them.
Yeah, we owe them a beatdown, no doubt.
Yes, we do.
If it's cold, that's the one thing, right? The Eagles know how to play in the cold.
Yeah, they're not afraid of playing in the cold.
So that's one thing that we don't have going for us, like, right. in this battle. We could be playing a Rams team again or something like that and be like, okay, it's going to be freezing in Chicago. Welcome back to this environment.
Yeah.
And we have that notch on our belt that would help us. I do believe that the Bears are going to go to the Super Bowl.
Do you? You think they're going to go, huh?
I think they have all the components. And it's special to watch them at this point. It's like they've we've played on a championship football team in the past. In high school, I did. I'm going to get a lot of crap from our listeners for bringing this up again.
I did a lot of watching from the sidelines, but I was there. I was
a sideline member of a championship football team at one point growing up. One of the things and the biggest components that really allowed us to excel and become that championship team was the idea of family, right? That we're all a family, and we're in on this together, and there's no egos here. And I think that Dub Club or whatever it is. Have you watched any of these videos? And then Nagy is a good coach, man. Like, these guys love this guy. They like playing for this guy.
Yeah.
And he's built that. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're buying into the family component, and it's rubbing back off. It's having this effect. The fans are in it. The fans have been brought back into the Bears.
Yeah.
It's been a genius move. Yep. And I think that energy starts to feed, right?
Absolutely.
That all of a sudden you say, hey, we're all in this together. The fans are the 12th man on the field for us. Like, we're playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Bears could slaughter the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend.
They could.
Definitely do that.
You know, they didn't play all of their starters last week against Minnesota, and they looked good. Still looked good. The offense could have looked better at times in the second half, but they still won that game, and they had to win. So, yeah, there could be some exciting times coming to the city of Chicago here. If they win this weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to start getting – it's the Bears mania is going to be –
it'll be all you see on the news.
Overdrive.
It'll be all you see on the news.
Yeah, and then you get two more weeks of it. It should be exciting news for a lot of bartenders out there that work on Sundays.
I agree.
That could be some big dough for you. Lots of people going – it's been like now that the Bears are good, it's like a thing. You know, I'm planning my Sundays around the Bears now.
Everybody is, right?
Yeah, I haven't had this opportunity to do this in quite a few years for the Bears. You know, to be like, oh, what am I doing on Sunday?
Oh, the Bears are on. Yeah, you used to go, the Bears. Who cares? The Bears are garbage.
Man, they'll get smoked. But now, for everybody that's an alcoholic, it's a wonderful excuse to go out on Sunday.
and to say that you're not an alcoholic.
Yeah, no.
I'm not an alcoholic. The Bears are on.
Yeah. I didn't want to drink 20 drinks today. I just
What
had
do you mean
to.
I'm going back to the bar?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
I'm excited. For that, we went out and watched the game on Sunday, but we didn't, as soon as the game was over, I was like, let's get out. Let's go home.
You were responsible about it.
Yeah. I was like, we don't need to stick around.
Cool. Do you think the Chicago White Sox are going to get this Bryce Harper?
I don't know.
Now I'm reading reports this week that the Sox are open to signing someone to a 10-year deal. They're going to get Manny Machado or this guy for 10 years. That's insane. You don't sign anybody for 10 years. That's like Bobby Bonilla money, right? Bonilla had, like, he's got the most lucrative contract. After he was out of baseball, the Mets still owed him, like, what, a couple million bucks a year for about 20 years or something?
Well, the way that I'm probably thinking is, I don't know, 10 years, it's got to be front loaded within, like, you know what I mean? Like, in the first 5 years, the majority of the money's there. And then the final five, they just want to be able to hold the rights to them. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the thinking is. I mean, there's so much young talent. I don't know what Rick Hahn thinks on the South Side with how he's going to, you know, they don't, there's, here's the thing. You don't know about injuries, and you don't know about, you might have seven guys that are prospects that are supposed to, you might have maybe two of those guys really pan out.
Yeah.
They know that Bryce Harper is a for sure thing. And if they can get an MVP caliber player on their team, and that's a for sure thing, I think you got to roll the dice. If you're a team which is considered, even though we are in a major market,
yeah,
I think sometimes people look at the White Sox as a second market team.
Now the Cubs, believe it or not, you bring up an interesting point. They're dropping Comcast Sportsnet as their host. They're gonna have their own network that the Ricketts family is behind. This smells of dollar bill Wirtz big time.
How so?
Well, what do you think? Wasn't that how Hawks Vision was the whole start of that? Where the Hawks never used to be on TV. And then Bill Wirtz said, oh, well, you know what? We'll create our own channel. You got to subscribe to this channel on cable if you want to watch home games, broadcasts at home games. That's all it was. Pre-sports channel. And then it didn't pan out very well, but... It sounds very like now the Cubs are going to be that proprietary that they're going to start their own network.
They'll be fine.
You think so, huh?
Yes. Think about Madison Square Garden Network.
Very true.
All right, that's what they're thinking.
Might bring a lot of jobs to Chicago.
Yeah, it'll
Cubs
be cool.
Network.
Cubs Network will be huge.
What do you call Cubs Network? Cubs Network?
I don't think that the Ricketts family has anything to lose on that. I think it'll create even more money than what they thought of. So, you know, and here's the other thing, though, too. By doing that, it just gives the White Sox more money from, they're going to get more money from NBC or Comcast themselves, which means that they'll get more advertising dollars thrown at them.
Yeah.
Which means that they'll have more money to spend on free agents. So it benefits both teams. Like Madison Square Garden Network, but that's with the Yankees and the Knicks, right?
Right.
And the Rangers, are they part of that, too?
I believe so.
I don't know. I think it's just, you know, the wave of the future. You know, professional sports teams with major money and starting to go, we'll just start our own network.
I think you're right. I think that you're going to see more and more of that with not just sports. Like, everybody's, well, we have our own network, Hibernian Transmedia.
Absolutely.
But we don't have a billion-dollar baseball team.
No, I don't. No.
That's what I got to work on. That's got to be my New Year's. Note to self. Build billion-dollar sports
franchise.
Franchise.
Yeah.
And add that to the Hibernian network.
Yeah. Get that moving. Work.
Mm-hmm. You think it's time to take a commercial break?
Sure, why not?
All right, that's been sports with the Hooley Brothers.
Ooh.
More Hooley's Hooley Radio after this message.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooley show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad sandwiches and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. His trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Sure, just a moment. We got you greasy dairy.
Miss, I'd like a little coffee here, please. I just want a little coffee.
These cramps are killing me.
I'd like a little coffee here, please. What are you, deaf? Can I get a little coffee, please?
Welcome back to the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour. That's a nice clip from Kim Wayans and everybody from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
Can't believe it. We just got a joke out of that.
That fine Irish-American film released
back one of the favorites.
In the 90s. Yeah. In fact, that was, I don't know what year I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka came out, but boy, is that a good one.
Yeah.
Go back if you have a little time in 2019 and revisit I'm Gonna Get You,
Introduce
Sucka.
Introduce your kids to I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
What are you gonna do this year? You gonna show the boys I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka? Are they old enough to watch that yet?
Yeah.
Good. We were talking coffee earlier in the show. I thought that was only appropriate that we go back and talk a little bit about this. Bill, have you... everybody likes to do the Netflix and binge, and you said that you did a little bit of that on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched this Bird Box with Sandra Bullock that everybody is going?
Is this the show about like it's supposed to be really scary that like leads? I don't know.
Is it the show that's supposed to be scary?
I don't know,
Yeah, Bill, it is. It's a horror thriller.
Is it? No, I'm not interested. I don't like horror.
You don't like horror films?
No, I'm not into, you know, going to sleep and being terrified. It's not something that I like.
Okay.
It's just something I don't know, never gotten into those kind of horror type movies. My girlfriend is interested in those type of films sometimes.
Okay.
She's like, oh, I want to see this new thing. I said, well, you can watch it on your own time on Netflix.
Well, the press for this has been everywhere. Mm-hmm. Apparently, everybody likes to binge at Netflix over the holidays. And this is a Netflix original film that was released just on the platform by itself. It broke records. It's like the most downloaded Netflix film of all time already.
Really? It's got to be good then.
It's about Sandra Bullock and her daughter. There's some sort of evil in the world that if you go outside of your house and see whatever it is that's outside, it makes you want to kill yourself or commit suicide.
Okay.
What a nice New Year's message that is, huh? Anybody struggling with depression this season? Make sure you watch Bird Box when you get home. Boy, is that frightening. Anyway, hence the term bird box is because she carries a little cage of birds, I think, around that chirp that sort of with her, she's blindfolded and her daughter's blindfolded and they're wandering aimlessly through the world trying to get around with this little bird box that they use as a sort of GPS for, against evil. Okay, now that you haven't seen it and I don't know anything about it, we can move on to the next topic.
Here's what's interesting that you might be interested in.
All right.
I did... see a Netflix documentary over the weekend.
Okay.
And it involves, I guess it kind of leads into a topic of what we'll go into after this, but
sure.
There was a Netflix documentary about a man in Los Angeles who had been charged with a murder.
Okay.
And it turns out that he was innocent, and the only way to prove his innocence was his attendance at a Los Angeles Dodger game.
Oh, interesting.
And the way that they found the footage was that they had somehow contacted HBO and Curb Your Enthusiasm had been shooting scenes there, an episode in season 4 where Larry picks up a prostitute on his way to the Dodger game, Larry David's character.
Yes.
And they had all this B-roll and stuff, and actually when they were shooting, the people in the stands didn't know anybody was there.
Because it's a heavily improvised show.
Yeah, but this guy remembered it.
Okay.
So, you know,
the guy who was on trial.
He's like, look, there were these cameras there. If you can find footage, they were right near me. There's a good chance that somebody caught me on B-roll.
Right.
And sure enough, they did, and it ended up exonerating him of a murder charge and getting him off.
That's fascinating.
Pretty incredible story.
What's the name of it?
Oh, gosh.
Bird Box is the name of the film.
Bird Box is the...
it's documentary's called Bird Box.
It's called Long Shot.
Okay, cool.
So if you get a chance to see that documentary, check it out. I thought it was great. I like documentary film, and that was one of the better ones I've seen in a while. And it also related towards, obviously, one of my favorite television shows, leading us into the fact that...
Yeah, unfortunately,
a great comedic icon has passed away.
That's right. Bob Einstein, also known as Marty Funkhauser, a.k.a. Super Dave Osborne, but he is Bob Einstein by birth. He did unfortunately pass away at cancer at 76 years old. He is the brother of Albert Brooks as well, filmmaker and comedian.
Yeah.
Boy, what a lineage and heritage of comedy in that family, right?
I mean, he was...
Super Dave is arguably the master of the long take. And the slow burn. His deadpan deliveries were some of the greatest things I've ever watched on Letterman. And he really had what's your first
memory? I remember
Dad
as a kid when we'd be little kids staying up to, you know, and he'd be like, "All right, Carson's on." He was like, "Super Dave's going to be on Carson tonight. You guys can
people,
stay
it was
up
like
and watch
Super everybody
Dave.
Loved it."
Yeah.
Marty, Super Dave Osborne, Bob Weinstein. He's born in 1942.
Bob Weinstein.
Or Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein. Let's not confuse the two.
How goofy is it that Albert Brooks' real name is Albert Einstein? Isn't that wild?
I did not know that.
Could have been. Never know. His parents were in the were comics as well. Harry Einstein was his father. He was better known as playing Parkayak. Oh, boy, I'm going to butcher this. Mike, I might need your help on this. There's a phonetic spelling of some kind. And their mother was Thelma Leeds. Okay?
Interesting. Oh, there it is.
Park your carcass. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. That was their father. And they had an older brother, Cliff Einstein. He's a retired advertising executive in Los Angeles. Imagine being Cliff. Your brothers are like two of the funniest guys in the world. And you're like, I'm just an ad man, you know?
Yeah.
Bob Einstein, I have to take a moment because Super Dave, like, you're right, Bill. I feel like he was a part of growing up. He did a famous Nike commercial when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? That really put him on the map with our generation, pre-Marty Funkhauser, right? We only knew him as Super Dave. Everybody just knew him as Super Dave.
Right.
And I can imagine that the amount of success that Bob achieved in his life, being able to be Super Dave and not, you know, and being able to jump in and out of that character was probably a luxury in show business that not many comedians can ever achieve, right?
Right.
It's almost like I would love that. I would love to just have a persona and then... When you're done with it, you get to go home and just do your own thing.
Yeah.
He created this goofy stuntman character, Super Dave Osborne, on the John Biner Comedy Hour in 1972. And then he later became a regular on the 1980 television series Bizarre, hosted by Biner, and was a frequent guest on Letterman.
Yeah.
So there we go. I wish I had more to say about it. You know... Unfortunately, I would love to play some Marty Funkhauser clips.
Right.
But they're a little blue for the program. Yes, I don't think we can go into it.
No.
But I suggest everybody go out and check out. You know what? Here's a little known fact. Super Dave, Bob Einstein, is the only comedian and actually the first comedian to appear twice on Jerry Seinfeld's web series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So that shows you how much. There's a great clip. It's called Marty Funkhauser Tells a Joke. All right. Mm-hmm. I suggest everyone go Google this when they get home.
Yeah.
But it's a clip where Marty is hanging out with Larry on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he meets Seinfeld for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. In the backstage of a taping. It's a great moment. So also, one of my favorite moments of Bob Einstein's is in his own brother's movie. I forget the name. It's going to kill me now. But the clips. Albert Brooks plays a film editor. Mike, you might, is it American Romance? What is it? But anyway, Super Dave plays, he plays a running store clerk. All right. And he's in his brother's. No, I don't know. I'll find it. I'll find it later.
Okay.
Anyway, other deaths to speak of, Bill, the legendary WWF announcer Mean Gene Okerlund has passed away. Remember him?
Yeah.
Who are you texting? What do you got going
here? I'm
looking
up Albert Brooks films to try to save you out on this.
Okay. I thought you were just like, I'll be home in an hour. Patty's rambling on about Super Dave. The show's almost over. We got about 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Mean Gene Okerlund, iconic wrestling figure and perhaps the most well-known announcer in professional wrestling history has left us.
Modern Romance?
Modern Romance. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
God, that's a great scene. Yeah. Check out Bob Einstein in Modern Romance.
Okay.
Good.
Back to Mean Gene.
Okay. Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah, Mean Gene Okerlund. I mean, the face of WWF wrestling for us kids growing up. He was the guy. You know, if you wanted to see that interview with the Hulkster, it was most likely going to be with Mean Gene.
I might have to pull up some Mean Gene stuff. Eugene Arthur Okerlund was his real name.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was originally from South Dakota, and then he passed away in Sarasota, Florida. Mean Gene Okerlund will be missed. Started his career with the American Wrestling Association in 1970. He was originally a radio guy. No there shock you go. There. Yeah. Right?
49 years in wrestling, huh?
40 longer, right? Boy, the stories that Mean Gene could probably tell, like the backstage stuff that he only knew about that existed, because there's a dark underbelly to professional wrestling, you know?
There was in the 90s for sure.
Oh, without
and
a doubt.
In the late 80s.
I think that's the golden age of professional wrestling. When Mean Gene, I think without Mean Gene, we don't, wrestling is not what it is today. It never becomes the thing. He's responsible for building and introducing the worlds to Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, right?
Sure. So. Absolutely.
If you're bored, go home and watch some Mean Gene
clips this
afternoon. Cool. I have nothing else to say right now, Bill.
No?
I'm staring at you.
Nothing?
Yes.
I'm sorry for your troubles.
All right.
Yeah. What?
Nothing. Huh? Give me something.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got. Those are the deaths this week. We could play a song.
Oh, we could play a song. We could.
A New Year's song of some kind?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think we need something to kind of push us into this new year and make everybody feel a little bit better about themselves.
Why? Why are people down, you think?
I don't know. I always get, you know, the New Year's for, you know, like, I don't know. I noticed a lot of my friends asking me, you know, are you guys doing anything for New Year's? Anything doing for New Year's?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I never was one of those people that would get all blue about New Year's, but there are people out there that get just really down in the dumps.
I think people get blue around the holidays, and then it's over, and then we've had this rebirth. We're done with it now, right? This is an odd week, though, the New Year's week, because everybody, the day after New Year's, especially when it falls on a Tuesday like it has.
Right, yeah.
Then Wednesday, you know, and it's like, oh, is today Monday? You know, are people back in the office?
Can like, yeah.
A lot of people are still, you know, it's like this bad holiday hangover.
I don't think business will return to usual for me in my profession until Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that falling into the week, I mean, people, it goes back, but not like the normal mainstream way of things. I think people are trying to take in a little break, relax, doing their thing, which is fine by me. I need to take a little break and relax too. I don't need to have all that stress.
Okay.
So, Happy New Year to you. I'm hoping there's a lot of cool things down the line this year, and I think there's
going to
be.
Got to get 10% better every day.
10% better.
10% better. I think Michael Lispy would tell us that to get 10%.
10% better? Yeah. I can't do Lispy.
If you want to get better this New Year, first of all, if people are wondering how I came up with Michael Lispy, it's really Gary Vee. It's Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah. Are you familiar with who Gary Vee is?
No.
You don't? You're not on LinkedIn, are you?
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, forget it.
No, sorry. I'm not on the LinkedIn world.
No, you don't. Is anybody in your industry, are liquor salesmen in the LinkedIn? No.
Suppose they are. I need to brush up my LinkedIn profile, no question about it. I don't even know if I have that I'm an employee at my company on there.
No, I don't think you do. Michael Lispy is the motivational speaker that we speak of on this program. He is he's part Gary Vaynerchuk.
Okay.
Because Gary Vaynerchuk is he runs VaynerMedia, which is, and he has a very popular social networking platform and media company that's dedicated to sports and celebrity representation. He's a sports agent. So if anybody's interested, that's why if they think Michael Lispy is Gary Vee, he's born from Gary Vee.
Yeah.
A little bit. What song did you want to play?
I'm game for anything.
Mike, do you have
something you're in the mood for? Okay. Mike's got something he wants to play. Okay.
Okay, good. All right. I do want to give one more shout out.
Oh yeah, we could do U2 New Year's Day. Maybe.
No, that's not a bad one.
Well, let me think about it. We might have something else on my mind. That's a good one, though. That works. I'm sure our radio listeners wouldn't mind that one.
No, but I do have to give another shout-out.
Oh, really? What's
before
that?
Before we end the show. To Barney O'Callaghan's Pub. It's at 10618 Southwestern Avenue. It's a great Irish pub. They're a new shout-out sponsor on the program. Say hello to Mary and Bernard if you get over there. They're the owners. Barney O'Callaghan's, 10618 Southwestern Avenue. Great spot.
Yeah.
Boom. All right.
I have a song I kind of would play.
You would play or you're going to play?
Yeah, I'll play it.
Well, I'm sure our listeners
I don't have the connect for it. Darn it.
What is it?
It's Gordon Lightfoot's Carefree Highway.
Oh.
I kind of figured, I was watching a show recently the other day and it was about a prison escape.
A prison escape?
Yeah, and they finally escaped. And it was kind of a release for them.
Okay.
And I don't know, hope that maybe 2019 is everybody else's carefree highway. Do we not have it, Mike?
No, we don't have it. Sorry, Bill.
Oh, man.
Back to that silly Wily character, Bono.
Do you have that connection on your phone?
I don't know if I can get carefree highway up without having more dead air right now.
Oh, really? Boy,
can we take a break here while I punch in some Gordon Lightfoot stuff on my phone?
Okay, maybe it will be U2 New Year's Day. Sorry for everybody.
I know, there's plenty of good U2 fans. Again, want to promote Hibernian Radio. That's the program airing before us now. We've been bumped an hour.
Right.
We're in the late night
spot. We're in the 8 o'clock spot.
Woo! We're after hours.
All right.
I encourage you all to go to the HibernianTransmedia.org website and start following that program. That's Mike Houlihan's new show, dedicated to Chicago Irish and its first responders.
Yeah.
Which is a great sort of niche to sort of kind of go after and start. Every policeman or fireman has a great story.
They all do.
And you'll get to hear a new one every week on Hibernian Radio with Mike Houlihan.
Yeah.
If you've enjoyed this episode, you can find archived episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie at freecrack.com, or you can search for us on iTunes in the same search query, Free Crack. Find us there.
Yeah.
Show is presented by Hibernian Transmedia. Until next week.
Bye.